Module 1, Recovery and Grief. Grief is a very important part of the process when a relationship has ended, and so you need to work through these emotions in order to move on fully to the next stage. Here, initially, we will intellectually explore the stages of the grief process so that you become emotionally aware of grief, and thereby enabling you to do the grieving that you've been perhaps afraid to embrace or experience. We will then work through this challenging process in our one-to-one sessions. This is going to be quite a long section, and so I've put in an all-important break for you to take time out and create time for reflection. It would be good for you to have a journal to hand, and open, and in case you wish to write a few notes. We're now working with one of the most difficult and emotionally draining aspects of the rebuilding process. Whenever there is a loss of something important in our lives, we suffer the natural process of grief. For death, there is a set ritual with a funeral, coffin, and the acceptance that grieving is important. In ending a relationship, there are no prescribed rituals other than perhaps a court hearing, the packing up of items in the home, and informing friends and family. And so grief is often not acknowledged or accepted as the death of a relationship. Many forms of loss happen when a relationship ends, which many people grieve over. There is the loss of a future, the sharing of a future as a couple, of love, of partner and lover, and the social status of being a couple. And then there is the loss of role, both personally and within society, and the status as a couple, and all that that communicates both to us and those around us. So for many people, the loss of the relationship is as important, perhaps, as the loss of the partner. Then there is the loss of the future plans, goals, careers, and home together. It's very common when we end a relationship to look at past pain. I've found that many people have not grieved the loss of events in the past, such as the death of a loved one. And connecting with this loss now in our life often powerfully connects us with almost re-experiencing that pain from the past. And of course, this can intensify the current grieving process. Essentially, for those who carried such unresolved loss from their past, their current grief is especially painful and difficult. But it's not just about past loss. If we have a history of unfulfilled emotional needs, such as one man who began working with me on the seminar, an unhappiness he'd experienced during his lonely childhood, then there is the chance to break free of some of those emotional connections. Many people are forced to move away from the house they live together with their partner, and single parents have to grieve the loss of children when they are not the parent who is caring for them. And, naturally, the children must also grieve the loss of the house, a parent, and a family. Essentially, for most people, grief has a push-pull effect. When you are hurt, you have a massive empty feeling, and you expect friends to be able to help you fill it. You talk to your friends and get closer to them, and yet you still have this empty feeling, like a big wound, and therefore you feel so vulnerable to being hurt again. As a result, when people get too close, yes, you tend to push them away, in order to prevent further emotional pain. Naturally, this creates quite a series of mixed messages for your friends. With grief, we feel emotionally drained and sleep problems are often common, either falling asleep at night if we don't use drugs or alcohol, or waking up early in the morning and, though tired, unable to get back to sleep. This is a major concern at the time when we need to have as much rest as possible, both mentally as well as physically. Also, the content of our dreams or the fact that we on waking return to the reality of the loss makes this grieving process very, very hard work. It's quite common, if challenging, to feel continuously tired until we finish this part of the process of grieving. Eating is a common problem. It's common to feel a tightness in the throat and find swallowing difficult. Sometimes the mouth feels dry and you may not have much of an appetite, resulting in occasions when you feel like you have to force yourself to eat. Rapid mood changes are typical during the grieving stage, that in one moment you feel forgetful or distracted, and then suddenly emotions rise, only to find that almost a second later the pain is once again with you. The whole sudden mood swing may have been triggered by a conversation from a friend showing an act of kindness to you. And also, friends can feel confused and sad, not knowing what they've done to upset you. There may be a period when you sense a loss of reality, of being in a daze or in an unreal world. You observe the world as though watching a film, remote and detached from the events happening around you. You may also experience a period of lack of contact in regard to your emotions, and this is based on the fact that you're afraid to trust your feelings because of your inability to control them. The emotional pain is so great that you have to protect yourself from feeling too much by effectively creating times of deadening your emotions. At these times, it's common to have a sense of emotional numbness. Many people report to me how they experience a lot of fantasizing during this grieving phase. Fantasizing about seeing their former partner, or that they hear their voice. A sense that a part of their body is missing, as though their heart were removed, which symbolizes the loss of the other person. For many, this part of the process may be frightening if you do not recognize that it is a natural and normal part of the grieving process. Loneliness, lack of concentration, weakness, and a feeling of helplessness, depression, or as I prefer to term it, a healthy reaction of intense sadness, guilt, lack of sexual interest, and perhaps feelings of impotence or frigidity may accompany the grieving process. Self-criticism and a sense to continually question your mistakes and almost relive your past, as though this is happening almost on a daily basis at this part of the journey. Anger is a part of grief resulting from powerful feelings in regard to the unfairness of both the recent loss as well as life in general. Anger directed towards your former partner may approach rage in its intensity, but I will look in more detail about this part of the process in our next online session. Suicidal feelings are common, with approximately 3/4 of people attending seminars reporting such thoughts and feelings. Research indicates a much higher than normal rate of suicidal thoughts and the associated feelings, and this can appear overwhelming at such a time. Such apparently uncontrollable mood swings, loss of reality, fantasies, intense sadness, and suicidal feelings often lead us to question, am I going crazy? And for many, this is a difficult fear to discuss with people. As you can guess, holding such a fear simply makes it even more isolated and challenging, but rest assured that this is a natural, normal feeling which everyone experiences rather than being a permanent psychological process. Essentially, you are experiencing normal and healthy grief reactions. So these grief symptoms may be handled by acknowledging them, accepting that they indicate grief work to be done, and allowing, with the right support, to feel the pain without the denial. Crying, shouting, and writhing are non-destructive actions to express your grief, and so make a decision to manage the grief by deciding on an appropriate time and place to do such grief work. When you are working, this is naturally not the time for you to actually express your grief, so you need to contain it, put it to one side, which becomes easier when you have consciously set aside other times to allow your grieving process to unfold. In doing so, your emotions become easier to control. Naturally, we try to protect ourselves during this time, and many people I work with say this part of the rebuilding process is the hardest, as they don't want to experience the pain and crying of grief. Somewhere, deep inside you, you will know when the grief work is complete, and you have worked through the process of letting go. and it means that you cannot experience these feelings again. Time for us to take a break. Let me walk you through the major stages involved in the grieving process or journey. I am greatly indebted to my friend and colleague, Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, for her fine work in helping clarify the stages, natural, normal grief process. Stage one is denial. This isn't happening to me. If I just wait a while, everything will be okay, and we will be back together again. This is often a state of emotional shock, numbness, and denial of feelings. Naturally, one may enter into an almost robotic phase during this time, acting as though nothing is happening, repressing anger and a few other emotions, as well as feeling down, no matter what people say or what happens around you. There is the hope that your partner will not leave, and you will wake up and find out that it's all been a nasty dream. You don't want to talk to people, be they friends or neighbours, about the ending of the relationship. Indeed, you don't really want to tell yourself at this stage that it could be real. Stage two is the emergence of powerful feelings as one gradually begins to accept the end of the relationship, and such powerful feelings of anger start to emerge, and often at the most unexpected times. Anger that is turned inwards can contribute to a form of what we term reactive depression. As we work on this stage, expressing the anger now feels easier, but there is also concern that the partner will not return to the relationship at any cost because of such anger, which can result in times of feeling both guilt and ambivalence. Now, the frustrations in the relationship, which built up over some time, also surface in the form of intense feelings of anger. Friends will have told you how they wondered how you tolerated your former partner for so long. In turn, it may be the case that you go to great lengths to convince others how terrible that former partner was, which often results in the catch-22 situation where you lose both ways. If you talk about how good the person is, how do you stay angry? But if you say how terrible that person is, then the question becomes, why did you choose such a terrible person to love in the first place? You have now started to work through the grief process when you admit and express such anger. Stage three. You are beginning to face the fact that the relationship is ending. Yet, for a whole host of reasons, both emotional and practical, with reluctance, one may start bargaining. I'll do anything, just take me back. This stage is dangerous for the ending process, because many people do get back together, but for all the wrong reasons. To avoid loneliness, an unhappiness in considering life without their partner. They are not choosing to live successfully with their former partner, but instead choosing the lesser of two evils. Stage four of grief is letting go of the relationship, and is essentially the darkness before the dawn. Very intense sadness is typical of this stage, but differs in expression from the earlier stage of intense sadness about the loss of the relationship, and extends to your life in general. Essentially, many people say, "Is this all there is to life?" There is much internal dialogue about the meaning of life. Why am I here on earth? What's the purpose of my life? This is a stage of personal growth to build a stronger identity, to find a deeper purpose for living, and to make life more meaningful. A number of people are left feeling that they can't go on living during this stage with such feelings, such as, I've tried so long and worked so hard, and here I am, down in the pits, and I don't want to let go. Because this stage sometimes comes so long after the actual separation, people are naturally surprised to feel so down and intensely sad again. It is discouraging to have worked so hard and feel so little progress. However, I have found that once people are aware of this stage, and that it is a stage that they can progress through, this makes it easier, they are essentially comforted to realize that it's a normal feeling, and they are not getting anything wrong at all. So be encouraged to know that with the right support at this stage, this grief will not last forever, and that it's very different from the earlier stage of denial grief. Stage 5 is where the stage of acceptance of the loss of the relationship begins. You have begun to feel free from the emotional pain of grief and to no longer feel the need to invest emotionally in the past. Now one can begin to move along the journey with personal freedom and independence. It is critically important to work through these 5 stages of grief before entering even another relationship, but we will discuss this in more detail in our next session. Now you feel and understand the grieving process and have permission to grieve as a healthy mental activity, you may feel freer to do some much-needed grieving, which may include some past loss besides that of the loss of the relationship currently here in your life. People I work with often find writing a letter, and certainly when my partner died, this is something I didn't just find helpful at the time, but in the future, for it was something that helped me when I entered another transitionary phase in my life. In addition to our working together, I encourage you to use your close and insightful friends for support as you work through your grief. And do not talk to people who've never grieved, for they often have no understanding or respect for this powerful and all-important process. But this is something that we'll focus on in our next session in more detail. Here's a checklist for us to go through before we have our next session. 1. I give myself permission to grieve if and when I need to. 2. I'm not burying the grief and sadness anymore, but I'm trying to express it. 3. I now have physical and emotional energy from morning until night. 4. I've stopped feeling intense sadness most of the time. 5. I have no trouble concentrating. 6. I no longer feel like crying most of the time. 7. I've overcome the feeling that I'm in a dazed state all of the time. 8. My emotions and moods are back in my control. 9. I have no trouble going to sleep and sleeping all night. 10. I notice that my body weight has stabilized. 11. My appetite is good. 12. I no longer feel mechanical in my day-to-day living habits. 13. I've outgrown the feeling that I'm losing my mind. 14. I have stopped continually talking about my relationship and life crisis to people. 15. I have no thoughts of ending my life. 16. I no longer have a lump in my throat. 17. My stomach feels relaxed. 18. I am beginning to emotionally grow close to people again. 19. I understand the grief process. 20. I have identified which of the 5 stages of grief that I am currently working through. 21. I have identified what I need to grieve, be this a person, relationship, or a future. 22. I am comfortable talking about my feelings of grief with a close friend. 23. I have written a letter of goodbye to the loss I am experiencing now.